Shelters of Saratoga, we've been around for about 30 years now. Unfortunately, our numbers are growing and growing and growing every year. We do a lot of different programming, and the one that probably rings in many people's ear this time, especially this time of year, is our Code Blue. So I could tell you that I've been with Shelters of Saratoga for about 3 years and 4 months now, and it's been quite a journey. It's opened my eyes even more to homelessness, and I've spent my entire career working with homelessness. Like I said, I started Waite House in 2002. Previous to that, I was a teacher, and I taught at a job corps, and I taught job skills in English and math, and especially to homeless and gang kids. And what I found there is everybody is looking for some form of structure and community. That's been a theme through my whole career, as I've seen it start to wane through the years. So I spent 14 years with the Waite House, like I said, homeless youth shelter, and then we started a transitional living program for young moms and babies. And then I went to take the role of executive director of the Tri-County United Way. And I spent 4 years with United Way, and I found myself a little lost. My job, you know, 40, 50 hours a week, was simply to ask for money. And I didn't feel fulfilled in that because I didn't have any program. I didn't have anything to sink my teeth into. And so within Shelters of Saratoga, and I started to have conversations back in the summer of 2020 where they needed some help with the culture of the organization and getting some grants pulled back together. There was a little bit of strife in the organization, and I couldn't wait to get down here. Now, I second-guessed that a little bit about a year ago. It was a bit of a rough-and-tumble time for Shelters of Saratoga, but we got through it. And I believe we got through it by those three virtues, by trying to continue to explain to our community that we are a resource for our complete community. We are not just looking out for the homeless individuals in our community, but we want to be a part of the community as a whole, and that's critically important. With Shelters of Saratoga, or in the work that we do, I find ourselves sometimes being quite powerless. I don't really hold any power. I'm a resource. I'm an accessory to our community that I encourage us to use and grow and feed. So I'll get back to our programs at Shelters of Saratoga. We have our main shelters at 20 and 14 Walworth. I don't know why it's 20 and 14. They're right next door to each other. They hold 23 individuals at the shelter. It's a very structured environment. When somebody comes in a shelter, they have to be clean. They cannot be using drugs or alcohol, or we will help them get into a rehabilitation center of some sort, or even an outpatient, so they can work on the recovery. Our goal is to get people to permanent housing or permanent supportive housing. So we can hold 23 people there. When I got to Shelters of Saratoga 3 years ago, the success rate for people coming from shelter and moving into permanent housing was 37%. So 37% of the people that came through shelter actually went on to permanent housing. Over this past 3 years, we are now at 70%, which is a remarkable, thank you. I have to say, I didn't do it. I have great staff. So it's a we thing with us. You know, I think that often people think that, oh, the executive director, he's the most important person in the room, and I'm not. I would often consider myself the least important person in the room. I'm so lucky to be surrounded by compassionate and caring case managers and super competent associate executive director who's really diving into the program stuff. Unfortunately, I spent a lot of my time pushing paper and talking to the press, which I'd rather not do. I'd rather just get to work. So that's one remarkable thing. So one of the things that I did notice when we were at that 37%, I said, we got to get that number higher. So I looked at the average number of days that somebody stays in our emergency shelter, and it was around 150 days. And I said, that's too high. So now we set a goal. We set a goal to get that permanent housing number to 50%, which we exceeded. And we attempted to get that number of days in shelter down to 90, right? So we can focus more on people, getting them into permanent housing, getting them prepared for life after shelter, out of homelessness. We've got that number down to 75. So What happens here when we get our permanent housing number up, our length of stay down, means we can help more people. We have more people coming through the shelter that we can assist. So that's really the main goals of the emergency shelters over on Walworth Street. Now, this time of year, you hear a lot about Code Blue. When I first got here, we were having our Code Blue at Adelphi Street. And by the way, Code Blue is simply a state mandate. It's a state mandate that says when the temperature drops to 32 degrees or below, and that's the real field temperature. So it could be 34 on your phone or your thermometer, but with the wind blowing and things like that, what's the real field temperature? So we keep an eye on that every day. When that real field temperature hits 32 degrees or below, you have to open it. Each county has to open a shelter or contract with somebody to open a shelter. It's low barrier shelter. Now, the definition of low barrier shelter is basically no questions asked. It's a life-saving mechanism, right, to bring people out of the cold so they don't freeze to death. You do not have to supply a bed. You do not have to supply a meal. You do not have to do any of these things. You just have to keep people warm. We didn't think that was right. We make sure that everybody has a bed. We make sure that everybody has a warm meal at night. And just to give you an idea, last year we served 11,000 dinners at Code Blue. And the great part, it was every single meal was donated by the community. And that's remarkable, right? 11,000 meals. So 3 years ago, my first Code Blue, we averaged about 32 people a night. The next year, we averaged about 44. Last year, we averaged 51. This year, our numbers are quite alarming. Full capacity last year was 61. This year, we had to move because we outgrew that building. We were at capacity most nights. So I rented the Grand Union Motel before it's going to get bulldozed, which I think is going to happen this year because there's going to be, of course, four-story apartment buildings down there. So we rented that, and it's a little different of the model because we're actually using motel units. We're putting three people per room, and units my capacity is now 75. The alarming part is this past weekend, we were at 75, and it's way too early for that. Usually around this time of year, last year we were around 45. So we're seeing a sharp increase. Why are we seeing a sharp increase? I think there's a lot of variables. I think people are coming into town, which we don't particularly encourage. We want each county to take care of their people, but however, we don't turn anybody away. So there's also Adelphi now, which is a low barrier shelter. It's run by a different organization, and they're full. So we're looking at numbers of 100 already of street homelessness in our communities. Another reason why this is happening, 40% of New Yorkers. And by the way, this is a study called ALICE, which means Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. It's a study that's done every 2 years on the working poor. This study showed that 40% of New Yorkers are living paycheck to paycheck or below under that ALICE threshold. And I don't see a lot of changes in the upcoming years. So I'm hoping we can really wrap our heads around why this is happening. We also have a couple of other programs that we do at Shelters Saratoga. We have a program called Health Home. So the Health Home program is, I have three care managers that do mobile case management. They go out to the street and they find clientele that may need to reach some goals, or even people that are housed that are struggling. So right now our caseload there is about 100 between those three care managers. Some really nice things on the horizon is that we were awarded a grant. Actually, it was the main reason why I came to Shelters of Saratoga. We have a large bricks and mortar grant. And what I mean by bricks and mortar, it's to create buildings or renovate buildings from the state. And we just finally went to final contract on November 10th. And we're going to be rehabilitating both of our shelters. And we also own a little motel at 73 Ballston Ave. It used to be called the Spa Motel, I believe, even though I think everything is called the Spa something. So that probably doesn't help you at all. But it's over on your way to Market 32. And that is going to be turned into 9 supportive housing units. So what do I mean when I say permanent supportive housing units? They're permanent housing. They could stay there forever, but there's going to be a case manager there to help them stay successful and get all the things that they need, right? We're all about a hand up. We just did a wonderful food drive or supply drive yesterday at Shelters of Saratoga. Believe it or not, we have about 45 staff. Most are part-time, people working Code Blue. In the evenings, we have three people on at Code Blue, and that's three people to manage 75 people, to manage the meals, things like that. And we have two people that spend the overnight. So pretty soon here, the temperature's going to keep dropping, and we're going to be open 24/7 over at 120 South Broadway. So there's a lot going on, but I truly could not do that without the support of the community. Our nonprofit is a business. We're a business like any other business, except for we just have a different product that we provide our community and the people we serve, but we still have to pay money to turn the lights on. Believe it or not, I can't afford to work for free, and neither can any of my staff. They have to put food on their families' tables, but we have to pay to put the lights on. The only difference between us and a regular business is we don't pay tax, much like a church. So to do the hard work, it costs money. So we get about 60% or 65% of our funds come through state grants and contracts, things like that, and foundations, and then that other 35% comes from our community and people giving us a hand so we can do this work. We have a lot of per diem staff. It's a hard job to fill. It could be hard on the heart to do this work. It could be hard on the brain sometimes to do this work, but they show up on a Friday night and work till midnight, or they show up on that Friday night at midnight and work to Saturday morning and make sure that our people are comfortable. But it's all about community, right? Just like what I see here. So the staff is very driven, very compassionate. I truly couldn't do any of this without them and how hard they work and how much they care and how many steps they take to make sure that somebody's taken care of. And the community, 11,000 meals, that's so remarkable to me when I stop and think about it. And they come right on time every single night. So I encourage you as I stick around to please come up and ask some questions. Make them hard questions if you want. You might have questions about, what do I think about panhandling, right? That's an issue we see. What do I think about low barrier shelter? What do I think about homelessness as a whole in our community and what people are doing about it and what track we're on? Please, I encourage you to say, hey, get some clarity on the issues. But, you know, one thing that I can tell you is that as you see people on the street and we understand that sometimes they're struggling with a lot of difficulties in their life. I can't imagine, I truly can't, to not have a home, not have some place to hang your coat, or frankly, if you have a coat. And we see our clientele on the streets, and I think one of the best things you can do is acknowledge them and say hello, even if you don't give them anything. You know, we see people that, I gave somebody a cup of coffee and they got angry and they threw it on the floor. Well, maybe it's the seventh cup of coffee somebody's handed them in the morning, and they're probably full of coffee. I also, when I talk about panhandling, and I think it's really a judgment call, and it's up to you if you want to give somebody money or something like that, the best thing you could do is give them a hello and some guidance, and if you talk to Shelters of Saratoga, something like that. But it's interesting that the dialogue that we have about panhandling is that some people worry, well, I'm going to give that person $10 and they're going to go buy beer with it or whatever they might. That's interesting, because what I like to say to people is, when you give somebody money and they accept that money, you then lose the control over what they can do with that money. An example I can give you is if you decide to go out to dinner to 15 Church and you get a wonderful meal and wonderful service and you leave a $30 or $40 tip, do you ever say to that waitress, well, you better use this for your rent, right? We don't do that, right, when we hand people money. So it's something that I think the biggest thing that you can give is some love and some compassion and some guidance. And if you decide to give money or something, that's really truly up to you. And just think about what I said when it comes to what happens to that money afterwards. homelessness and shelter is really important to me. It's where I've really built my career. It's been very challenging at times. I could tell you that when I very first started out and wrote my first grant in regards to homelessness, we had to have what's called a 10-year plan. You had to put your 10-year plan to end homelessness in your grant. I was naive enough to think 20 plus years ago that that was really going to happen. That when I put that 10-year plan in, that I'm going to be out of work in 10 years. And by the way, there's nothing that I would like to see more than me out of work. That's really what our goal is to have all of us look for another job. And by the way, if I might say, what I would really love to do is, you know, the guy that rides on the back of the highway department truck and sprays that tar in the little cracks? That's what I'd like to do when I'm all done with this. I just want to be that guy. So we're trying to work ourselves out of a job. I don't think it's going to happen. You know, I was naive enough to think that my 10-year plan was going to work 21 plus years ago, but here I am 20 plus years ago, and the numbers are worse, and things look as bleak as they ever have, to be honest with you. But we keep fighting the fight every day, getting up, doing the work, reaching one person at a time, and that's truly our goal. So I encourage you to come up and ask a few questions, and we'll get back to the service.